السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So yesterday we had commenced Surah Yasin and it continued in today's Taraweeh into the 23rd juz of the Quran. With regards to Surah Yasin, I think most of us are well aware of the numerous virtues associated with the surah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that inna li shay'in qalban wa qalbur Quran Yasin, that everything has a heart and the heart of the Quran is Yasin. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that one of the possible reasons for calling Yasin the heart of the Quran, or Surah Yasin the heart of the Quran, is because of its dealing with this matter of Allah Ta'ala's Tawheed, Nubuwwat, and also the concept of the Akhirah. You'll find that Allah Ta'ala has linked Iman with the Quran, with Iman in the Akhirah. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, that those who believe in the Akhirah bring Iman in this Quran. They believe in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in answering for their actions, the Hisab. So Yasin deals very vivid, Surah Yasin deals very vividly with this concept of the Akhirah. Allah ta'ala paints a very vivid picture about what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that any person who has a need and he recites Surah Yasin and then presents this need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will fulfill that need of his. Also, we are encouraged to recite it at the beginning of the day to make all our matters easy for the day. And a person recites it at night as well, his night will go well as well, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned, اِقْرَأُوا يَاسِينَ عَلَى مَوْتَاكُمْ, that recite the surah upon your dead. What the ulama mentioned means that upon those that are on the verge of death, that is, those that are close to passing away, they may be in good condition of sakarat. So we should recite Yasin and it makes it easy for them. It makes the ordeal of death easy for them. And also, there is a lot of encouragement in the ahadith to recite Yasin when we go to the Qabristan and convey the sawab to those that are there, those that are whose qabrs we are making ziyarat of, and in particular our parents. As far as Yasin is concerned, the first two letters and the first ayat of the surah, according to some of the ulama, this is one of the divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to others, some say it is the name of Rasulullah. It is one of the names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu alam, Allah knows best. And when we go into the surah, there is a verse here which is a very, very important verse to understand. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu atharahum, that we will give life to the dead. Meaning that we are going to, once people die, we are going to resurrect them again. We are going to give them life again. And we are recording whatever they have sent forward. Meaning, whatever deeds, whatever actions they have done in this world is being recorded and is going to be carried forward into the Akhirah, where they will receive the recompense of these deeds. So if it was good, they will be rewarded, and if it was bad, they will be punished. And Allah mentions, وَآثَارَهُمْ. So not only are the deeds, the actions that we do in this world being recorded and they are going to wait for us in the Akhirah, but also the legacy, the effects that we leave behind. Athar, plural of the word athar, it can mean a footstep, it can mean a trace or an effect of something. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some sahaba wanted to move away from, they were living far away from the vicinity of the masjid in Medina, and they wanted to come closer. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, remain where you are, tuktabu atharukum, that remain where you are, because those footsteps that you'll take towards the masjid, you're going to be rewarded with each footstep that you take. So that's one meaning of athar. But the ulama mentioned that here it's a more general meaning. In other words, when a person passes away, he may leave a legacy behind, he may leave something behind in this dunya that remains after his death. And he may continue getting the reward of that. For example, you will find that the great ulama of this ummah, the great muhaddithin, the great fuqaha, so they recorded the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They compiled their books of hadith, for example Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and all these great muhaddithin. And you'll find that over 1,000 years later, the ummah is still continuing to benefit from that. And for the span of over 1,000 years, every single day in that period, we cannot count the amount of rewards that are going to them because of the people that are reading those books, they are studying them, putting into practice. So it's continuing, and it will continue till the day of Qiyamah. So this is the legacy that they have left behind, and this is what Allah Ta'ala is talking about, وَآثَارَهُمْ. So like that, our great a'imma, the great imams of fiqh also, similarly, they lived so long ago, in the first, second century after Hijrah, but you'll find that up to now, these mazhabs have prevailed. And one of the reasons for them prevailing for so long is because of the ikhlas and sincerity within them. Once, one of the muhaddithin remarked that during the time of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, there were many similar books of hadith written. Like the Muwatta of Imam Malik, there were other Muwatta'at, books of a similar nature, books of hadith. But his is the only one that has remained. The others have all become obsolete. So they say that it was because of the ikhlas of Imam Malik in compiling that book, that Allah Ta'ala, it was accepted by Allah to such an extent that over 1,000 years later, people are still reading it and studying it and benefiting from it. So this is what, when a person does a good deed with ikhlas, Allah Ta'ala causes that to remain behind in the world. So like this, of all the actions, probably the most beneficial is that of ilm, that of knowledge, because this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this was the wiratha, this was the inheritance of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he left behind. And those that took hold of this and then continued to propagate it in the world with sincerity, you'll find that their legacy continues, and it will continue till the day of Qiyamah as well. So this is a lesson for us. Similarly, if a person does something bad, if he does some bad action, if he initiates some bad action, which then others begin to emulate and follow, then that becomes a bad legacy that he leaves behind, which will also be a source of azab. And now the problem here is that person who did it, he may have done it 100 years or 200 years or 1,000 years ago, from the time he initiated that, and from that time, everyone who copies that action or follows that example, he will continue getting the reward, the azab for it as well. Like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the people of Lut alayhi salam, that everyone who commits this act of homosexuality from that time till the day of Qiyamah, they will continue getting the punishment of all those that follow in their footsteps. So it works both ways. So what we have to do is we have to try and leave behind a positive legacy, a legacy that will be of benefit for us, inshallah. So one is, we mentioned the example of ilm, but there are many, many other avenues in which a person can continue benefiting after his death. For example, a person builds a masjid, a person or digs a borehole, for example, a well, or something which people continue benefiting from. So as long as that remains in this dunya and people benefit from it, he continues getting the reward, and this will continue. So this is what Allah Ta'ala speaks about. The hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also explains this. Man sanna sunnatan fil Islam, falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah. That person who initiates a good action in Islam, so he will get the reward of it, and the reward of whoever does it till the day of Qiyamah. وَمَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. And that person who does an evil action, he does something bad, فَلَهُ وِزْرُهَا وِزْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So the burden of that sin will come on him, and the sin of all those who follow in that till the day of Qiyamah. Next we'll move to the next surah, which is Surah Safat. So without going into all the details of this, we will go right to the last ayat of the surah, a very, very famous ayat, where Allah Ta'ala says, or not the last ayat rather, but the last three verses. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Very famous verse. Very often we hear this at the end of du'as, when the imams make their du'as, we hear this being repeated. So these three verses encapsulate the entire surah that was recited of Surah Safat. You will find that in the initial part of the surah, in the beginning, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the mushrikeen and their wrong beliefs, etc., and their lack of belief in the akhirah and their incorrect beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word subhana rabbika, rabbil izzati amma yasifun, or this entire ayat. So the word subhan is in the meaning of tasbih. So what is the meaning of tasbih? When we say subhanallah, we say that we have made tasbih or we have recited tasbih. So what does this mean? It means that we are proclaiming Allah Ta'ala's freedom from anything that is unbefitting of His majesty and grandeur. We are freeing Allah Ta'ala from anything. That is why you'll find that whenever Allah Ta'ala speaks about the beliefs and the statements of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, you'll find very often it's followed by subhanallah. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Subhanallahi amma yasifun. Subhanallahi wa ta'ala amma yaqulun. So Allah Ta'ala exonerates Himself. Allah Ta'ala frees Himself from these things that people are attributing to Him which are incorrect. So this is what subhanallah means. So we are proclaiming Allah Ta'ala's perfection here. His perfection from all those things that are unbefitting of His majesty and grandeur. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ. If you follow the surah, you will find that after that, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the various Anbiya alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala speaks about Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Ilyas alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about these various Anbiya alayhi salam. And this contains this وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ, encapsulate the concept of Risalat and our belief in the Risalat and the sending of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into this world for the hidayat of mankind. So, and we send salams upon them. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And we conclude with hamd, with the praise of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, where subhanallah negates from Allah Ta'ala all that is negative, all that is inappropriate, hamd establishes for Allah Ta'ala all that is good and all that is positive. That all goodness is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that is praiseworthy, Allah Ta'ala is the source and the origin of all of that. For example, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that even when we do any good action, when we have the tawfiq of doing anything good, man wajada khayran, you find anything good in your life. Some ni'mah comes to you, you have the tawfiq of doing some good amal, then you must thank Allah, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah ra'su shukr. To say alhamdulillah, this is the best way of expressing our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to acknowledge that everything good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when wajada khayran falyahmadillah, you find any good, you see any good anywhere, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attribute that goodness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And these two phrases of tasbih and tahmid, of subhanallah and alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'anil mizan, that they fill, wa tamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal ard, that they fill whatever is between the heavens and the earth. In other words, the effect of reciting this creates such nur that it fills whatever is between the heavens and the earth, and on the day of qiyamah also they will fill the mizan, they will fill the scale of goodness. And this entire, these three ayat, Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, This was a very common practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to recite this after every salat. To recite this kalima. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says that person who wants his scale filled on the day of Qiyamah with ajr, with reward, then at the end of any majlis, any gathering, he must recite this. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. 15 minutes are up. Just one last ayat, inshallah. In the next surah, Surah Zumar, Allah Ta'ala mentions, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. That person whom Allah Ta'ala expands his chest for the deen of Islam, so he is upon noor from his Rabb. He is upon light from Allah. There is a noor that comes from Allah Ta'ala that has come into the heart and chest of this person. This is also in another verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That person whom Allah Ta'ala intends to guide, to give him iman and hidayat, Allah Ta'ala expands and opens up his heart and his chest for the deen of Islam. In other words, he accepts the deen of Islam and all that it comes with, all the ahkam, etc. He accepts it easily, he accepts it readily. So, Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how does this happen? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, this is a noor that Allah Ta'ala casts into the heart of that person. So, Sahaba asked, is there any sign of this? Is there an alama, a sign for this noor? So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, yes, you will notice three things in this person. Al-inaba ila daril khulud. That his attention and focus is towards the eternal abode, which is akhirah. That he is living in this world, but his focus is there. Everything he is doing is for the sake of his akhirah. وَالتَّجَافِي عَنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ. And he has no concern for this world. He takes from the world what is necessary to help him in this journey to the akhirah, but the world in itself holds no attraction for him. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. And he is always preparing for death before it comes to him. He is in a state of preparation. In other words, he is getting himself ready to leave this dunya. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding and